Shalom, shalom. Many blessings of peace. This is Dr. Akiva Gamliel of B'nai Noach Torah Institute and Raqqa, or Audio Visual Learning Library. Welcome. Thank you for joining with me. Our discussion, entitled The Seven Laws 2, is in the loving memory of Mr. Donald Wayne Belk and Mr. Gary Lee Belk. May they rest in peace. In our first discussion, The Seven Laws 1, I mentioned that the laws are established in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. I explained that the laws are not easy to see or understand in English. This could be because translators are simply not acquainted with the seven laws, or they deliberately decided to omit and hide the seven laws. Regardless of the reason, they're still not evident, especially in Christian and English publications. I explained why. They are evident, however, in Jewish publications, and we gave a number of references of Sephorim, of books whereby one can go and check and learn and study about the seven laws that have been here ever since Adam and Hava were created. I mentioned that the word Yitzav, and he commanded, that is, the Lord God commanded, is a very important word because it's the first time the word command or commanded was used in HaTorah, in the Bible. It's the first time the Lord God commanded. And it's the first time that the Lord God commanded to the man. And this is where social laws, and this is where the seven Noahic laws are originating from. Now, seven laws translate into 66 laws for spiritualists, for B'nai Noachites. The Ten Commandments given to B'nai Yisrael, to the children of Israel, translate into 613 laws given to B'nai Yisrael, the children of Israel. When we go to Sefer Bereishit, that's Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, it's very easy to identify the words that we're going to be talking about. There are 11 words that give us seven commands, which translate into 66 commands. If one has a Jewish chumash, chumash means five, and five represents the Pentateuch, the five books of Moshe, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Bereishit, Shemot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Devarim. A good chumash is the stone chumash, and this is the one that we recommend at B'nai Noach Torah Institute. It's published by Art Scroll. And if you'd like to purchase one, you can go to B'nai Noach Torah Institute to the learning store, and there's a special link there. And if you click on that link, it'll take you right to Art Scroll, and your deed of purchasing through B'nai Noach Torah Institute will allow us to get a little credit to help our institute out, and we would appreciate that. The seven laws that the creator of the universe gave to Adam HaRishon, the first man, and Chava Rishona, the first lady, that's Adam and Eve, one of those laws was not instituted until Noah, the time of Noah, after the flood. And that is the law to be kind to animals. The reason that that law wasn't instituted, it was given, but it wasn't instituted, is because humankind, before the flood, were vegetarians, and animals were vegetarians. And so that law was only instituted after the Creator allowed humankind to eat animals. In Genesis 2:16, there are 11 Hebrew words. These 11 Hebrew words equal seven commands. It's interesting. Avot 5:1, that's ethics of our fathers. That's a Mishnah from the oral Torah given on Har Sinai, tells us that with 10 utterances, the entire world was created. So when we look at it from that perspective, that with 10 utterances the entire world was created, then we can certainly understand that each utterance of the Creator has a great deal of depth and meaning and intention. Our sages teach that for every letter of HaTorah, for every word of HaTorah, for every sentence of HaTorah, for every paragraph or every chapter of HaTorah, there are over 5,000 different interpretations, 5,000 meanings. And so what we're going to talk about is just one meaning, and there are many, many more. But this is where the seven commands originate. The very first command is V'yitzav. And V'yitzav means that He, God, established, appointed, commanded, prohibited. This institutes the law of order. The second law, the second command, is the second word of Genesis 2:16 in Ivri. And that word is Hashem, our Creator. David HaMelech said, "And they shall praise everything from Allah to Tav of the name of Hashem, for His name is exalted." And that's in Tehillim, that's Psalms 148:13. And since we recognize that it's the Creator's name that is to be exalted, we understand from this that it is a prohibition to blaspheme the Creator and the Creator's name. The third command is the word Elohim. Elohim is the plural word for God. Even though God is singular and God is Echad and God is one, not three in one, this is a prohibition against idolatry. You see, God as the Creator is our judge. And we are reminded that the same word is used for gods. It's a plural word, and when we say Elohim, that is in reference to gods when we're just talking in the mundane world, in the general world. However, when we're talking in the mundane world, in the general world, and we use the word Elohim, we're changing the pronunciation. And the reason we're changing the pronunciation is because it represents that God is holy and that God is the judge. And so on the one hand, we can say the word Elohim representing gods, God forbid, because that's a representation of idolatry. But when we say the word Elohim, it's representation of our Creator, God the judge. The fourth and the fifth words represents the fourth command of our Creator. And those words are Al-Adam. And that means to Adam, or upon Adam, or over Adam, or against Adam. And this represents the prohibition of bloodshed. This represents the prohibition of murder. You see, when one is over or one is upon, that represents that one is watching over, that one is caring for, that one is protecting. And so it's to Adam, to the man, over the man. And so man is to watch over each other. Man is to watch man. The fifth of these seven commands is the word Lamor. Lamor means to say, or Lamor means utterances. And Lamor represents the prohibition against adultery. You see, within a proper lifestyle of a spiritualist husband and wife, or a Jewish husband and wife, certain conditions must exist for utterances of HaTorah to be spoken, utterances of HaTorah to be shared. Just like when one builds a house, they must first prepare for the foundation, and then they must lay the foundation. The foundation for a husband and a wife is Lamor, to say, utterances. And that foundation has to be established in the relationship, the faithfulness of the relationship. So a husband has to be faithful to his wife, and a wife has to be faithful to the husband. And their bond of faithfulness allows for the foundation whereby Lamor utterances about Torah can be spoken, and where utterances about Torah can flourish and can have life. But if a husband is not faithful or a wife is not faithful, then the utterances of Torah cannot be spoken. They cannot take hold. They cannot have the impact that is intended when the correct atmosphere exists. So Lamor represents sayings, and the sayings have to be spoken within a proper atmosphere. The next three words, Mikol, Eitz, Hagan, represent from all the trees. This is a prohibition against stealing. Mikol, Eitz, Hagan represent that Adam and Chava could eat from every tree in Gan Eden but one. So in essence, what this is telling us is really important. It tells us that things that belong to the man and his wife are acceptable to eat. Things that belong to the Creator are not acceptable to eat. The Creator gave all the plant life to Adam and his wife Eve, except for one tree, which they were not permitted to eat. The Creator made Adam the ruler and Eve the ruler over all the animals and over all the creatures that existed, the fish, the birds, on the earth. But he did not give them permission to eat the animals. So the things that man could eat represent what belongs to man as far as food is concerned, and the things that man is prohibited from eating represent the things that belong to God. And so from this we understand there are things that belong to God and there are things that belong to man. And if one takes the things that belong to God, that is called stealing, and that is the prohibition against stealing. The last of these 11 words is Akol Tokel. Akol Tokel represents that Adam and Chava could eat freely of all the plant life, with the exception of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And this means that they could not eat animals, which we've already stated earlier. It means that you're free to eat everything, but you must be kind to animals. And so this is a prohibition of mistreating animals. Now this is a command that would be expounded upon at a later date after the Noahic flood, when God would give permission to Noah and to his families and to the descendants to eat animals after the flood, after the world was altered, after the skies were altered, after the temperatures were altered, after the entire universe was altered because of the flood. So let's review. V'yitzav means we should institute law and order. And then we have the word Hashem, which represents that we cannot blaspheme the name of our Creator. Then we have the word Elohim, which means we cannot have, we should not worship idols. We cannot have idols for gods. Then the fourth command is Al Adam, the prohibition against bloodshed. Lamor is the fifth, which is the prohibition against adultery. Then we have Mikol Eitz Hagan, which is the prohibition against stealing. And then the last of the seven commands is Akol Tokel, to be kind to animals. Now let's take a little more in-depth view of each command. Bitzav is, and he commanded. First, God is the Creator of everything. As Creator of everything, God is superior to what he created. God is superior to man, all creatures, the universe, everything. Hopefully, we understand this. So when HaTorah says, V'yitzav Hashem Elokim, it is establishing that there is a commander and that there are those who are commanded. God is the commander. God is the authority. And we are the ones who receive the commands. We are the ones who are to honor the commands of the commander. It is also interesting to note that this is the first royal command from the commander, and it was given to Adam and to Chava, to Eve. In Genesis 1:28, man is introduced to God, his commander, with the words Elohim said to them. Then a second time in Genesis 1:29, with the words Elohim said. Then in Genesis 2:16, we read the words, the Lord God commanded the man. So far, it is clear to us that up until this point, HaTorah only records God said. This is the first time that God commanded. There's a big difference between God said and Hashem God, the Lord God commanded. The word command in Genesis 2:16 is from the same root as commandments, the same root as the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. The meaning of the word command is law. The meaning of the word commandments is laws. This deviation in Genesis from God said to Hashem God commanded is the beginning of required observances for spiritualists and for Jews. In our first audio, the Seven Laws 1, we expressed how easy it would be in the present English Bibles by Christian publishers to pass by the word commanded. One could pass by commanded thousands of times, not noticing that this is the place in HaTorah where social laws for all humankind began. One could even delve into non-Jewish Hebrew concordances or lexicons and still miss what is actually happening there, as we demonstrated through several examples. In certain instances, Christian messianic concordances are very careful to avoid exact meanings in sensitive areas like these. Christian translations, concordances, lexicons very, very readily use generic terms in these types of situations. The exact meaning is frequently omitted or placed way back in the terms of definitions. How convenient. When Hashem God commanded the man, you may certainly eat from any tree in the garden, but from the tree of knowledge of what is good and evil, you shall not eat from it. Hashem God established social laws. One may ask, how did God establish social laws beginning here? Hashem God could have said, do not eat from the tree of knowledge. Then, if the man or his wife had eaten from it, they would be guilty of just disobedience. However, because of the way in which Hashem God worded his commands, he established two categories, which I've already mentioned. First, things that belong to the man and his wife are acceptable to eat, but what does not belong to the man and his wife are not acceptable to eat. By doing this, Hashem God established a series of laws that he as ruler of the universe governs over. If one or more of these commands that he established are disobeyed, then he as judge passes judgment on the disobedient. Next, we see that Hashem God established the man as ruler over his, Hashem God's, creation by bringing every creature that he created to the man to see what the man would call them. This is what Genesis 2:19 says. Yikra does not mean to name. So, whatever call the man used to summons each creature to him became the creature's name by his proclamation of Hashem God. It could be considered like a dog whistle that beckons one's dog to come. The sound the whistle makes calls the dog, but the sound or the call is not actually the dog's name. It is important to understand this. So now we see a chain of command developing. The man was inferior to his creator, Hashem God, but superior to the creation Hashem God had given the man authority to summons. This is the establishment of a system of rules and justice. From this we can understand that just as the man had authority to summons any creature, Hashem, God, had authority to summons the man. We know this because Hashem, God, Vayikra, called, summonsed the man in Genesis 3:9, and the man responded. That teaches us that Hashem, God, has a name whereby he is called. Man has a name whereby he is called, and each creature of creation has a name whereby they are called, whereby each are summoned. Now, man could summons each creature, but Hashem, God, could summons each creature and the man and his wife. From this, we learn that there is honor placed upon each level of rulership. This establishes a system of governing before other human beings existed on this world. Now, when we look at the second command, do not blaspheme God's holy name, we're looking specifically at the name of God that represents mercy. Each of God's creation, each of God's creatures paid homage to God as ruler and creator of the universe, and to the man as ruler of the earth, who was given that authority by Hashem God. The man paid homage to Hashem God only. Notice that the name the creatures of the earth paid homage to was Elohim, representing only the attribute of justice and rulership. Notice that the man paid homage to Hashem God, representing both the attributes of justice and grace, mercy. This is very important. Many spiritualists normally think of the name Elohim as God, but creatures in creation knew the meaning of Elohim to be ruler and judge. The man knew Hashem Elohim as merciful ruler and judge. This only occurs when the plural name Elohim, meaning ruler and judge, is combined with the singular name, meaning Hashem, merciful, gracious. This teaches us that God is actually singular, not plural. God is not three in one. Understanding the full intention and meaning of Elohim as God originally meant it and still means it at creation, to all creation, is extremely important then and now. Unfortunately, it seems as though the intention and the meaning of Elohim is trying to be displaced with some false doctrines. It is imperative that we, as the elements of creation, return to the original understanding of Elohim, that being Hashem God, the merciful ruler. It is from this understanding that we intuitively know, just like a newborn baby knows without any instruction how to suckle their mother's breast, that we are to honor God and to honor His holy name, Hashem Elohim. In other words, honoring God and His holy name is a natural instinct established from creation. It is a physical law in the same sense that birds and fish and animals mate after their own kind, that plant life does not naturally mix. Wheat produces wheat. Apple trees produce apple trees. It is a series of natural relationships between the sun, the moon, the stars, to Earth's rotation. In the same way, we understand that we are to honor Hashem God and His name as the merciful ruler and judge. Life before the flood was considerably different than it is today. creatures did not feed on each other. All creation lived in total peace. Man was 100% vegetarian. The world then had a harmony. The sun was never too bright or too hot. Rain and snow did not exist. Mountains and oceans that we now have did not exist as we see them and understand them. Storms of any kind were unheard of. Man did not cover the entire earth as we know it today. The world then was very special and a very wonderful place. Everyone spoke the same language before the flood. God's presence was felt everywhere. God was understood in a special way by His creation everywhere. All residents of the earth could travel to the entrance of Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden. They could see the angel with the flaming sword in person. Man had a closeness then that man does not have today. Man still had direct connections to Gan Eden that were visible, evident for everyone to see. For over 900 years, the residents of earth could speak with the original man and his wife. They learned firsthand about the seven commands, if they chose. Man then had direct connections that do not exist for us today. In the first world, before the flood, man's responsibility of honoring God was clearly understood by all residents of the earth. Man then understood that he was to worship only Hashem God. Clearly, both Cain and Hevel, Cain and Abel, understood the requirement to honor Hashem God. They brought forth offerings. It was also clear that Noah and his sons understood the requirement to honor Hashem God. Noah brought offerings to Hashem God. I discuss this in a little more length in an article entitled, God Does Not Require a Blood Sacrifice. And so for a brief second, I'm just going to mention this. Cain brought the worst produce of his field. They were not the first fruit, and they were not the best of his field. Hevel, that's Abel, brought the best of the first fruit of his field. And so God honored Abel's sacrifice, but he did not honor Cain's sacrifice. It's not because Abel offered a blood sacrifice. It's because he brought the very best from the first fruit of his flocks, whereas his brother brought actual spoiled flaxseed, rotten flaxseed, the very worst, the poorest of what he had to offer. And this is why one was accepted and the other was rejected. Had nothing whatsoever to do with the blood sacrifice. Now, we have five more commands of the seven commands to discuss. And we'll continue that with the next audio, God willing. Again, if you have questions regarding this audio, please send those questions to us at questions@bnti.us. Again, questions@bnti.us. Now Hashem bless all of those that observe and follow the mitzvahs of HaTorah. Shalom. Shalom.